We started off a series, some weeks back, close to, that should be more than 2 months now. Man, I think I've lost track of the count, where we are. I guess this should be the 12th section or thereabout. I guess, Okay, this is the 13th section, okay. Because I know I lost count. It's the 13th section, okay. So that's over 3 months now. Hallelujah. So, we're looking at following the inward witness. Hallelujah. Following the inward witness. And today we're going to take one like a recap of what we were saying within the past 10 years. So, I'm taking a kind of a different approach in this section. Hallelujah. More or less like a different approach. Glory to God. So let's start like this. So it's more or less like a looking at some things we've discussed over the weeks into the month. Following the inward witness, Matthew 28 from verses 18. Matthew 28 from verses 18. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all power, that's the word authority, is given unto me in heaven and in the earth. He said, go ye therefore and teach all nations. He says, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the ends of the world. Hallelujah. Mark 16, from verses 15. And he said to them, go ye into all the world, and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. So he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they will cast out devils. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They will lay their hands on the sick, and the sick will recover. So then after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven and sat at the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, with the Lord walking with and confirming the words with signs following. Amen. In Luke 24, Luke will put it this way, from verses 45, it says, and he opened he the understanding, that they might comprehend the scripture. It says, thus it is written, and thus it behoves Christ to suffer, and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins were preached in his name amongst all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. Hallelujah. So, quickly, what was said is that this will be Jesus' instructions within the 40 days. That he taught them within the 40 days. And then, he didn't just teach them, he gave them an instruction. Hallelujah. And we said those instructions will be first instructions of scriptures. Why would they be called instructions of scriptures? Because Jesus taught them from the scriptures. Hallelujah. He taught them from the scriptures. In Luke 24:44, he said, these are the words which I spoke to you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which are written in the law of Moses and the prophet and in the Psalms concerning me. So he taught them from the scriptures. Hallelujah. So Jesus teaches from the scriptures. There will be instructions of the kingdom. In Acts of Apostles 1:3, the Bible says he taught them for 40 days concerning the kingdom of God. So those will be instructions of the kingdom of God. And he will employ kingdom narrative like the preaching of the gospel. Euangelion is a kingdom narrative. Hallelujah. Amen? Amen. So we said there will be instructions in theology, because scriptures is theology. So there will be instructions in theology. There will be instructions of God. Then we added one more, and we say these instructions will make them his evangelists, right? By functionality, they will be, by extension, us will be his evangelists. by functionalities. Right? Hallelujah. And we say the role of an evangelist is towards the believers and through the believers to the world. Was that what we said? Towards the believer and through the believer to the unsaved. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God. So we said, this instruction will be given to his men. Who is God's man? Who is God's man? Who is God's man? God's man from the Genesis will be a man in his presence. Right? What I would say? Will be the man in his presence. In Genesis chapter 1 verse 26. He made man in his image. Well, the man will be the man in his image. Right? And that is the image will be a put the man whom he formed into the garden. In his presence. Hallelujah. Hope you're following me. Glory to God. So that means the man, God's man, is the man in his image. That is the man in his presence. Right? Glory to God. The man in his presence. At Genesis 2 verse 15. He put the man whom he has formed in the garden to dress and to keep it. Did you see that? So obey the man in his garden. The man that has the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. So we said, the man who is God's man is a man with God's Spirit. What? Is a man with God's Spirit. And we said, God's Spirit is God's leading. Glory to God. God's Spirit is God's leading. Romans chapter 8 verse 14. As many as are led by the Spirit of God. Now that word led is the word ago. Means to bear like a child. And it's used for the new birth. So it said as many as are led by the Spirit of God. They are the sons of God. So that means the new birth. Come on. Is God's leading. You can put it like this. God, then you can't separate the new birth. Or you can't separate salvation from the leading of God's Spirit. So we can say another name for the leading of God's Spirit is salvation. Hope you are following me. Glory to God. Because you can separate it. The new birth, the new birth is God's leading. Hallelujah. And that is salvation. So you can say the new birth is salvation. Hope you are following me. So the new birth is salvation. God leads us. Hallelujah. God leads us. Ezekiel will put it like this in Ezekiel 36 verse 26. For 25 verse 26. Say, a new heart I will give to you. Say, a new spirit I will put within you. Follow upon. He said, I will sprinkle you with clean water and you shall be clean. You see that? I will sprinkle you with clean water and you shall be clean. Glory to God. Yeah, a new heart will I give to you. A new spirit will I put within you. This is that? That's God's Spirit. That is God's man. God's man will have God's Spirit. Hallelujah. What will the Spirit do? And I will cause you to walk in my status. This is that? So that means the leading of God's Spirit. Come on. So that means the new birth. In the new birth you have God's leading. Hallelujah. Amen. Because I'll put the new Spirit within you and cause you. So why would they walk in the statue to keep on doing it? Because that is what you have in the new birth. God's leading. God's status. Hope you're following me. Hallelujah. God's leading. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Hope you're following me. God's leading. So the new birth is God's leading. And we say the background to that will be the children of Israel. Hallelujah. The background to that will be God's children. I mean the children of Israel. How they left Egypt. Glory to God. So that means, look at what you'll find here. You go back again to see, since the new birth, listen, since the new birth is the world to God, unbelief to salvation, right? Darkness to light, Egypt and the cross into the wilderness. So that means the instructions in the wilderness, what you'll find as instruction in the wilderness will be the instruction in God's living. Hallelujah. For example, let's say this. They crossed the wilderness, right? They crossed Egypt, right? Right? And they were in the wilderness. So the wilderness is how you would function in the world, right? Can we say the wilderness will be God's leading?
Hallelujah. The wilderness is how God wants you to function in the world. And how does he want you to function in the world? By his spirit. By his leading. So Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. I'm trying to take back everything we're discussing, right? Is that not it? Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 10 will say they all disobeyed, right? They all murmured. Hallelujah. The writer of Hebrews in Hebrews 4 will say they did not mix the word they had with faith. So that was unbelief. We're in the wilderness. Glory to God. Hope you're following me. Hope you're following me. So in Numbers 14 verse 26 into 29, God told them they would enter into his rest. Because of disobedience. Because of unbelief. Glory to God. So that means, now Paul in 1 Corinthians 10 says, do not murmur as they did. Did you see that? So that means, how should we walk in the world? How should we conduct ourselves? In the spirit, right? So the wilderness will be how they were supposed to conduct themselves amongst men. To walk in the spirit. To walk in unity. To walk in the church. Do you see that? So that means the leading of the spirit, come on, will not cause division in the church. No. Amen. Remember, we said the practice of the things of the spirit will be where? In the local assembly. So that means in the wilderness they were to go together. That means how God wants us to live in the world should be what? By the spirit in the local church. Hope you're following me. By the spirit in the local church. Hope you're following that. Hope you're following that. So let's go further a bit. They're supposed to do that. How they're supposed to conduct themselves. So, look up here. That means, the wilderness is supposed to be, how are we supposed to live in the wilderness? It's supposed to be the leading of the spirit, right? Come on, the leading of the spirit. So that means, every instruction they had in the wilderness were instructions towards God's leading. Hallelujah. So, what do we find in the wilderness? What is God leading? Hallelujah. You will discover that all through the wilderness, the instructions they had were instructions towards God's plan in all the earth. Was that not it? Hallelujah. God's plan in all the earth. That was God's plan in all the earth. Hallelujah. So that means the primary way of God's leading, right, is towards his cause for the earth. Hallelujah. Okay, follow me. It's towards his cause for the earth. So that means when it comes to God's leading, how he leads me in my job, how he leads me in my deeds, in that, primarily is towards his tax in all the earth. Hallelujah. And what is the tax in all the earth? Towards men. Hallelujah. So that means I must be very smart about it. Glory to God. What is that leading? We say the leading is the spirit, the leading is salvation, and we have the spirit forever. John 14 verse 16. He will abide in you forever. That means the man born again has God's leading forever. Hallelujah. Amen. The man born again is not deficient of God's leading. He's not deficient of how God leads his people. He has God's leading. Hallelujah. He has God's leading. All of God's leading. So the man born again is not praying, God, for my leading. No. That is an error in prayer. It's an error in prayer. The man born again doesn't say, God, come and lead me. No, the man born again has God leading already. Hallelujah. Amen. Look at how James would put it. He would say, you should receive the engrafted word, which is able to save your soul. When you use the word engrafted word, it means our spirit is well informed about God. Hope you are following me. That's what it shows you. Our spirit is well informed about God. So he calls it the engrafted word. Hallelujah. It's called the engrafted word. So the believer doesn't have a leading problem. I said you should know that so well. The believer doesn't have a leading problem. The believer has all of God's leading in him. Hallelujah. The spirit of the believer is not the spirit of the world. The spirit of the believer is the spirit of God. Hallelujah. So I have the spirit of God. Hallelujah. That's what we have. We have the Spirit of God. So the believer is well led. The believer is well led. He has the leading of God. What we are following? The believer has what? The leading of God. Hallelujah. He doesn't look for it.
No, he doesn't look for it. He has it already. Amen? So we said, if a believer has the leading of God already, so why do we teach leading?
We teach leading because man needs his mind. Man needs his mind to function in the earth.
The mind is like man's central processing unit where he takes decisions. Decision are taken from the mind.
Hallelujah.
Or you say, decisions are received, or put it this way, leading is received in the mind. Because the mind is needed to carry out, to function in the earth.
Hallelujah.
To function properly in the earth, you need your mind. So therefore, you need your mind to receive instruction or to receive the leading of God's Spirit. But not just that, the mind too can receive instructions and direction from men and the devil also. Right? Here we go. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9.
It says, I am not yet seen, never fear, yet never fear then to the heart of man, the same which God has prepared for them that love him.
So that means you have windows to the mind. And one of it is the eyes and the ears. So that means, since where leading is received is in the mind, I need to recognize. I need to train my mind to recognize God's leading. Because if there's going to be an issue, it will be an issue of recognizing the leading. But when it comes to leading, we are well led.
Hallelujah. Okay, following me, we are well led. So recognizing the leading.
I'm not just recognizing the leading in my few years or my few days of coming to know about the leading of God's Spirit. I discover that there are many people who know God, who know they have the leading of God's Spirit. I discover that there are people who even recognize God's leading. But you know what? They don't follow it. You could even say there are people who say this is God's leading, and yet they don't follow it.
Hallelujah. And people who know that this is God,
and yet they say, no, I'm not going to follow it. There we go. There are people like that. So that means
we need to be trained well.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
As a believer, we need to be trained well. Train your mind. Not just to know, but also to follow. Glory to God. Amen?
Amen?
Amen? Glory to God. Let's deal with that of knowing. So knowing God's leading has to do with the mind. Recognizing it. See, many times, many people don't even recognize at all. Why we say this? Because many times their minds are full of knowing. Their mind is full of several things. See, the way the mind works, what you stay with too for a long time, listen, what you stay with for a long time is what you call it, is what you hear.
As I most times you will be told, listen to messages, you don't know the reason for it. Hallelujah. Some of you,
the pastor will call you and you can't even recognize it. You can't even recognize. Sometimes I throw calls to some of us. And you're hearing, hello sir, who is this sir? Sorry sir, may I know who is this? It tells me one thing. You don't listen to messages. I don't need to be told twice. You don't listen to messages. Hallelujah. Sometimes I call my name. This is my, I say, oh sorry sir. I'm very sorry sir. How can you say that? Amen. Amen. Where do I go? Where do I go? Somebody disguises her voice today to call me. I know the person called Isaiah. Don't even go for that. I know you. That's how you love Isaiah and me. You can't. There are some people you cannot miss their voice. Amen.
But the Shem cannot call me to do what I hide because they are listening for just Mark 5 seconds
there, I'm after the message. Amen? Because otherwise I listen to the messages. Amen? If I'm going to work, I don't carry anybody. So I listen to messages like get to the office every day. As well as 1 hour 30 minutes on the road to get to the office. And that is one message, one track, completed. So that I now repeat it again while coming back. It's an act of meditation. I just listen to messages. I'm teaching you people on inward witness. Not many times I listen to messages on inward witness. Just within these weeks. As I was still coming here today, I was still listening to inward witness. Amen. Amen. I listened to it yesterday. This was the day for yesterday. I will still listen to it. Hallelujah. And you know the funny thing, I'm not listening to another message. It's the same message. It's not that there are no other messages to listen to on inward witness. They know the same message. You are the same track. Hallelujah. I'm not listening to it. Because see, I'm not listening to it because I know it. Because I don't know it. I'm listening to it because you can never know enough when it comes to inward witness. You can never know enough when it comes to following the leading of God's Spirit. There's no extra. There are some teachings there you are not expert in. Amen. You can't claim expert in things like following the leading of the Spirit. How can I say you are an expert? I know it. What nonsense are you saying? You can't say I know it. I've been into one message for weeks. Hallelujah. You know what I'm saying? Just most times I'm just playing it around me. Hallelujah. Look, I'm teaching on it now. I just need it around me all the time. Go with it. Just let it be right. Not that he knows that I know it. I just know it. Oh, you don't say things like that. You don't say things like that. You're going to fall. Amen. 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 Glory to God. Glory to God. So you must learn to just stay around messages. You see, what that helps you do, it helps you quiet disturbing noises. See, when I see someone who is not listening, who is not praying, I know. I don't joke. I know. Go, go. So you must learn to quiet noises because your mind should be left, to be kept sacred. Your mind. You must always do that consistently and always. Take away noises from your mind. You must learn to recognize. And definitely, there's no hard and fast rule on God was, no, there's no hard and fast rule. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Look at Elijah. Elijah was used to the fire, was used to the cloud, was used to the earthquake. Right? But how did God speak to him? In 2 Kings, he still small boy. Hallelujah. Still small boy. That's the 1 Kings 19. He's still small boy. Still small boy. So that means, listen. Yes, I heard this by Pastor Shego recently. He said, you must already by now know a particular way God leads you as a believer. There's a particular way God leads you. Right. Yes, you come to know it, but you shouldn't now box God. That it must only be that particular way. Hallelujah. Don't box God. God leads us. Hallelujah. So I was led to recognize it. Recognize it. I'll share this from our shepherd too. Amen. He said things like, he said, well, for you to know how God leads men, for you to know how God leads him more to people. Those are the people who are born again, have the Holy Ghost. Let to listen more to them. Most of the time, listen well to your pastor. Be a listener. Amen. There's just this thing about a believer just listening. Rather than take up an argument, just listen. Amen. It should be your nature. If I should be your nature, just listen. Just sit back and listen to people. Hallelujah. Just listen to men. You see how God leads men. Leads you. Hallelujah. Just listen to men. Don't let the men with the Holy Ghost. Because, the man who is born again has the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Has the Spirit. So, woman, just listen to them. Hallelujah. Just listen to them. Just listen to them. And the decisions we've taken as a church, I didn't take this decision myself. I just listened to some of us. Hallelujah. Just listen to someone. Why can't you? And I knew that. See, they don't know that it's God that's speaking through them, but I knew that, oh, this is God. Let's take this step. Hallelujah. Let's take this step. We're having believers' convention in November. I didn't suggest it. No, I didn't. I don't have a discussion with a fellow pastor.
And it doesn't just say, I looked at it again and I thought it should be more with it. And I said, okay, let me think back again and pray about it. Hallelujah. Let me just pray about it. Let me just stay on it and pray about it.
Oh, that is hope by the Holy Ghost.
Jesus,
that is hope by the Holy Ghost.
So you just imagine like, oh, you are always quick to cut people off. Say, no, it can't be. No, don't say that. You're the child of God. And the person you're speaking to is born again, full of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Amen. It can just be a simple talk. But you too must have to always know when to pick those words. So that means you too must always be you. Hallelujah. Well, we're going to that. So I say, come on, you quiet treading on this by speaking more in tongues. Now I told you, speak words, God's word, right? Right?
Yes,
I told us last to speak God's word.
Yes,
speak God's word more. Speak God's word more. Speak God's word more. Today I'm telling you again, you know, speaking in tongues is God's word. Amen.
1 Corinthians chapter 4, 10.
1 Corinthians 14. Let's get to 1 Corinthians 14. So let us speak God's word more. Hallelujah. Speak God's word more. Just pray in tongues more. As a believer, pray in tongues more. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 1 into 3. It's a follow-up. Okay, I'll go to 3. It says, for he that speaketh in an unknown tongue, speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understands him. Hallelujah. Now what him there is that no one understands. No man understands. How be? In the spirit he speaks mysteries. Hallelujah. How be in the spirit he speaks mysteries. Glory to God. Verse 4. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself. Edifieth himself. He builds himself up. Hallelujah. That word edify is the word oikodomio. How you build is the word used for how you build on a foundation. Hallelujah. How you build on the foundation. And what do we have as a foundation? We have Christ as our sure foundation. Right? Right? Christ as our sure foundation. So we are building on it. Hallelujah. We are building ourselves on that truth about God's word. Building ourselves up, speaking of you are building yourself. Hallelujah. Hope you're hearing me. You're building yourself. You're building yourself. Glory to God. So you pray in tongues much more. You pray in tongues much more. Paul in verses 18 of 1 Corinthians 14, look at what he says. He said, I thank my God. I speak with tongues more than you all. Paul is making a point. Hope you know that. He's telling the church, I speak in tongues more than all of you. One man saying speak in tongues more than the whole church. But I speak with tongues more than you all. So that means as a believer, I was able to speak in tongues more. Amen? Amen?
Amen.
There's something about it. Just speak in tongues. You are walking, you are speaking in tongues. Don't say I have outgrown it. Don't say I used to do it before. No, don't stop it. Amen? Don't stop it. Just take it off. Amen? Just speak in tongues. You are working. It isn't enough to be part of it that you are just working on your tongue. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You are driving, you are speaking in tongues. You are driving, you are speaking in tongues. You are walking, you are speaking in tongues. You are taking your bath, you are speaking in tongues. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
You stay more speaking with tongues. Do that more often. Amen? Do that more often. You know what it does? You are speaking God's word to yourself. Hallelujah. You are defiled. You are speaking God's word to yourself. Amen? You are speaking God's word to yourself. You stay more with the scriptures. You know that the scriptures is God speaking to us.
Yes, sir.
Hope you know that. The scriptures is God speaking to us. So that means if I stay more with God's word, I know God's word. I won't have issues with God's voice. Okay, I won't have issues knowing God's leading. I won't have issues knowing God's voice. Because I'm staying more with the written word. I stay more with the written word. Don't outgrow it. Stay more with the written word. Stay more listening to the pastor's voice, to the pastor's message. It's very vital. Listen more to the pastor's message. Listen more to instructions. Prophecies that have gone ahead of you, listen more to them. Hallelujah. You know, God, when it comes to the leading of God's Spirit, when it comes to the leading of God's Spirit, God uses voice that you are used to. Amen. God uses voices that you are used to. And look at the voices that you listen to more. Look at the case of Samuel. Hallelujah. He heard the voice that sound about that of Eli and went to meet Eli. Glory to God. God uses similar voices. Uses the voice of your pastor. Uses the voices of the one you honor. Hallelujah. So you must also recognize God's voice. Hallelujah. Let's recognize God's voice. You know, as I'm talking to you now, it's God speaking to you, telling you recognize my voice. Hallelujah. Amen. You must understand that. That is God telling you right now, recognize my voice. Hallelujah. Amen. You must know God's voice. You're a child of God. You fill your mind with the right information. Fill your mind with the right information. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Well, God leads us. He leads us simply with the written word. He leads us primarily by the Spirit. The knowing of the Spirit. The Spirit is all knowing, right? The Spirit is all knowing. He knows all of God. So He leads us by His Spirit. He leads us by His Spirit. Remember I said He leads us through your pastor's voice. He leads you through fellow believers, right? That's what I'm talking about. I'm just repeating what we've been talking about since. Hallelujah. So He leads you via the inward witness. Primarily, the inward witness. That is the knowing of the Spirit. The knowing of the Spirit. I would say the inward witness acts like an umpire. Acts like that signal, right? That endorses, refutes, assess, rejects facts that are exposed to it. Glory to God. Let us stay there a bit. Let's stay there a bit. Hallelujah. So we said the inward witness works with perception, right? You perceive, just like Paul in Acts 27. I perceive. I perceive. And we said that perception has got nothing to do with your physical smell, right? Come on. It's a perception from your spirit. This knowing, and we said it's so strong. It can be that strong that it produces what? Voices, right? Strong impression producing words. Strong impression producing words. So you must learn to expose things to the Spirit. Sometimes it comes like, we said this, so I'm just taking back, taking us back. Paul would say, I go bound in the Spirit, Acts 21. Let's go to Acts 21. Acts 21. Hallelujah. Are you there? Now look at one verses. Verse 12. He said, when these heads, they both, we and they in that place, decided not to go to the other. But Paul said, what may ye to weep? And to break my heart, but I'm not ready to, not only to be bound, I mean not to be bound only, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So look at what Paul said, that he was ready to be bound. Look at chapter 20 quickly. In verse 22, look at what they said in verse 22. 22 says, and now behold, I go bound in the Spirit into Jerusalem. That word is a I go compelled. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
You go compelled in the Spirit. That is like you have this inward movement in your body. Hallelujah. You are just here, but you feel that you are compelled. Hallelujah. You go compelled in the Spirit. It's spiritual, right? I would say those are the emotions of the Spirit. I will bear the emotions of the Spirit. And remember, it says the Spirit bear witness to our spirit. We have that witness in our spirit that our mind needs to comprehend. Hallelujah. That means we can bear the emotions of the Spirit in our mind. Glory to God. You can bear the emotion of the Spirit in your mind. You bear it so strong. Hallelujah. You see, when it comes to the emotion of the Spirit, you know, because you are born of God, you know this is the Spirit of God.
This is not my mind.
Now, something you must know about the inward witness. Very vital. The inward witness is not fear. It's not fear. So when you feel just like someone telling you, okay, this actually we have to apply to women. Say that to women. Because a lot of people, a lot of ladies feel that women are wired to be emotional. That is a stupid talk. They know I'm a woman, I'm emotionally wired. That is a lie that the motivation speakers and people around, that has even crept into the church, have deceived several people. Wait, don't say such words. I'm emotional. I'm an emotional being. Women are emotional. See, let me tell you something. Yeah? Are you hearing me? They, you are wired that way. Keep short. Hallelujah. I've heard someone said, if you want to go into a business venture, first of all, tell it to your wife because they are very emotional. That's nonsense. Man, if that wife has not been trained in the spirit, if you are not trained into our spirit, if he's not a believer, you always say, just imagine. I want to do a business of 100,000. You tell you go. But you say, there's this business I want to do. It's over 1 billion and I need to borrow 600 million and put up our house with our CFO, all of them as collateral. There's nothing you tell her. I'm telling you because you are emotional. You are the same men are very intelligent. They have their emotional quotient is very high. See? And in next morning, she will tell you, my spirit you should not do. There's no way she will tell you let's do. You know what? Fear.
Amen. What is the fear? The fear is 1 billion borrowing CFO. Don't think they know. See, so me, I'm a marketer, banker. If I want to, there are some customers I want to deal with that you have to seal their deal immediately. Because the moment they give home and they tell their wife, that deal will drop. Amen. Seal the deal immediately. Seal it because you know if their wife hears it, the deal will not fly again. Amen. And you know, those people say, my wife is. Hallelujah. There are several people who have done good businesses and their wife didn't know. I only saw the money. They say, We say, this one is, But tell them the risk you took. We say, you would have done it. Well, that's the good money you're enjoying. Amen. So stop all those nonsense. So as a believer, you have to start training yourself that way. Amen. If it doesn't church, just stop telling yourself nonsense. Those lies. The women are wired that way. Come on, keep sure. Say, I have the emotions of the spirit. Tell them I have the emotions of the spirit. I respond to the emotions of the spirit. Amen. It starts like that. I respond to the emotions of the spirit. I don't respond to the emotions of the world. Because you know what? What you give your mind to, what you give yourself to will form how you will respond to things. Hallelujah. So your mind will always respond to what you fed it with. Don't be afraid of it. What you fed it with. It will feed your mind with evil. The day something will happen to you, let's say it's just small malaria, you will die of it because you will think someone is doing it. Hallelujah. But what was doing you was the mosquito you did not use insecticide to kill. Don't be afraid of it. Because you fed your mind that way. There are several people like that who think that their problem is village. Whereas the village people are just resting. They are tired of even your matter. I'm not saying that they are no village people. I'm not saying that they are village people either. But if your village people is just resting, any little thing, whereas you're just so careless. Hallelujah. What are you saying to yourself? I'm not in any way saying that there are no other powers, you know. Useless powers, you know. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. But you know what? What you expose your mind to. If you expose your mind to too much Nollywood, especially epic, your life will be epic. It's just simple. It's just simple. So the point is that some people one day, I've seen somebody one day, and it's because of one thing your child watched. He goes to the market and he was looking like this. You want to see people that are ghosts walking. You are just crazy. Amen. What are you doing that for? Until he got a cult
And you come for no moment, you come for some demora. But what I know why you show us, right? I just imagine that you're like this. Oh, who market? Who market?
Hallelujah. Glory to God. So you have to feed your mind with the right word. So the inward witness is not fear. Amen?
The inward witness is not fear. Now someone asked me recently, just some days back, and I said, how come I don't believe? He said, how come I don't believe that people that die don't go to on another place to live again? I've heard several stories like that. How come I don't believe?
It's not hard for me not to believe. I mean, it's not hard for me. It's the scriptures. In fact, there was a story my father told me. That was what even got my mom. And what's wrong with this guy? He told us a story about one guy like that they call Aptis in their village. Look at how he started the story. Aptis in their village. So the man died. They now buried him. But now went to another village and was now doing Aptis. So one day, one of the village personnel saw him and said, that's it, we don't bear, where did they be? Now went and called village children. The normal village children, you know. So they now came. And Aptis was already living in another house. So now after looking for Aptis, now the guy is Aptis' house. And they went into the house and sat down.
This is years back. I just imagine how I can remember.
And you can remember it very well. I'm talking to you like I'm just picturing the way he told us. And then my response immediately. Amen. So he said they just entered the Aptis and everybody sat down. Waiting for Aptis. Aptis went to take his bath. Outside, you know, village bathroom. They make his bath. So he was not entering with bucket. As soon as they entered, he just saw his village people, main village people. Now, he just disappeared and the bucket landed on the floor. I just laughed. I said, Daddy, were you dead? Or they told you the same way you are telling us. Say, they told me, I said, it's not true.
Amen.
He looks to you, but it's not true.
Amen.
He's not true. And I think he's not true. Amen. Amen. He said, but I try to say it doesn't. He knows it. He just exists in your head. Show me one. Hallelujah. And I said, not even withstanding to, even if something like that even try to exist, is a demon. There's this story like that I used to fly around when I was growing up. And I have the same question. Did you see it or did you? It has moved from dimension to dimension of a man who got married. The family, the other one was to say, take me to your family people, take me to your family people. So one day, after giving birth to children, let's go to the village. This story, it happened in everybody's village in Nigeria. Everybody's village has the same story. Question, which person's village did that? Amen. Let not to feed your mind with nonsense. So if you see, the mind works this way. What you give to is what you give to back. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. So feed your mind with God's word. Feed your mind with God's word. Don't allow negative thoughts enter. Don't fight thoughts with thoughts. Fight thoughts with the word. Amen. Hallelujah. A man now goes to his village. He now went to show the wife where they buried the man. The man is when they go to the town to go and the house man will live. Like that. And they keep shorting. So the children are half human being and half their spirit. Nonsense. Amen. Amen. Stop talking nonsense. There are some things that when you say it in Africa, people that are evil, is there anything wrong with you people in your head? Amen. You understand?
Not that way. So the person now responded to me, but Jesus Christ, but John the Baptist, he was Elijah that reincarnated. I said, yeah, where did you see that in my
You see how people deceive themselves? You know the point why I did that? Yeah. Where did you see that in the Bible? Well, because they've told me the same thing too growing up. Now, John the Baptist was Elijah reincarnated. That's not the scripture. And that's the thing. And that's the first one of scripture. That even John the Baptist was asked if he was the Elijah. And then John said he was not the Elijah. That Jesus was the Elijah. And Jesus came and said, no, that is the Elijah. So, if John the Baptist was actually reincarnation of Elijah, you should know he's Elijah now. But you say he's not Elijah. Hope you are following me. So stop saying nonsense. It's not in scripture. When he says,
came in the strength or in the spirit of Elijah. He didn't say his reincarnation. No, in the spirit of Elijah means in that office of a prophet. That's what it means. Stop saying nonsense.
Amen.
It's not like saying Elijah took up the double portion of Elijah's spirit. It doesn't mean that what Elijah did, Elijah do times 10. No, it means office. That's what he's talking about. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And just like Elijah, he was chased. Elijah was chased by Jezebel. Jezebel did not catch Elijah, but John was chased by Herod, and Herod caught him. Just simple. Look at it.
Amen.
You
got
it? And what happened? He was beheaded. The other guy, Elijah, knew too well how to run away from Jezebel. He ran. But John couldn't run. If he's reincarnated, he should know that this has happened before. Let me give that man. Abi, he stayed. Keep short. Just stop talking nonsense sometimes. Hallelujah. So you mind what you feed your mind with. Mind what you feed your mind with. If you feed your mind with fear, it will give you fear. And fear can never be the leading of the spirit. Amen. It can never be the leading of the spirit. It can never. Just like that young guy that was told to come pray or lead the meeting, and he said bad angels is passing. What do you think? What do you think he got that for? Too many Lollywood, too many nonsense stories. Hallelujah. So in his mind, he felt that strong urge that there was. That was just useless feeling. Hallelujah. Useless feeling. Fear is not it. Anxiety is not the leading of this. It's not the
Anxiety is not.
Amen. Something else you need to know. Proud knowledge concerning something. Many times it's not the leading of God's spirit. It's not. You have a knowledge of about something. And you know, you have knowledge about something, and this was how it ended. And now say it is the emotion. You already have prayer knowledge, right? It's not the leading. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Human mind has been calculated to work with logic. It's logic. But look at Paul in Acts of Apostles 27. He told them, "I perceive." Listen to what how he put it. Say, "I perceive that this voyage will be of great danger." The Bible says the people obeyed, followed the captain because they learned everything was good and okay. You see that? Everything was good and okay. They decided to follow, but the Bible says in just within the children of Allah, the whole thing changed and there was a great storm. You see that? But someone has seen it ahead of time. So, the evil witness doesn't work with logic. Though it is logical to the things of in terms of the supernatural, but in the natural, you know, in the natural, 1 + 1 = 2. You are, that is logic, right? In the natural. In the natural, when you are logical, you are smart. When you are logical, you are intelligent, right? But in the spirit, you are intelligent when you follow the things of the spirit, not when you walk with logic. Amen. You are intelligent with the things of the spirit when you know how the things of the spirit operate. They are not logical at all. How many people are not logical? They work with intuition. Hallelujah. Very vital. So as a believer, you must let things pass through the inward witness. Hallelujah. Pass it through the inward witness. Pass it through. So then you have that compelling situation. I could remember 2007, we were to go for youth convention in hosted by Christ Embassy. So I had that discussion with Tunde. We were preparing myself, Tunde and Soji. So Tunde had already told me that he wasn't going to come due to one or two things. Then I and Soji, my friend Soji, so we are prepared to go for it. In fact, that morning to youth convention in the evening, and that youth convention, youth conference in the evening, we are to leave by 4. So, you know what? We've spoken about it. We were together from let's say 9 till 12. I told them I'm going back to get prepared. So I went back to pray for the meeting. I prayed for the meeting into two. Then I rested and then took off. We said we were going to leave by 4. So I left by around 3:30. The meeting was to start by 9. So I wanted to be there max by 5-6. Because it was at National Stadium. So I left the meeting by 3:30. I was going to meet him around L10 and M1. You know, I was about to go straight from T2, but I just said, let me pass that M-test. I thought I was just straight. I just wanted more time to play. I mean, if I go straight, the shortcut, I said, if I go like this and go this way, I will spend more time praying. So I was just praying in tongues and I was going. I was just thanking God for how good the meeting was going to be. Just thanking God, I'm going to receive today. And the priest for yesterday, I'm going to speak directly to me. Pastor, you want to talk to me? So I was just talking and praying in the Holy Ghost, just praying. As I got to that M-test, there was this strong, I was compelled, strong, not to go to this place again. You know, it was that very strong that I was going, but I was feeling this motions. You have these inward motions. I have that inward motions to go this way, like I was going to PWD gate. It was that very strong. It happens to me several times. Hallelujah. I couldn't just understand. I'm like, I want to go and see who agreed. You get that? Who agreed that we were going together. But that was so strong. So you know what? I just turned. I just turned. And I kept going. Kept going to PWD. But I said I was going to call this number. If it picks there, maybe we'll just meet me at PWD. But I just felt that strong. That strong bond. That strong confirmation of the confidence. So I kept calling this number. I thought I was too short. What I was feeling was stronger than that appellation to go to his side. So I just said, let me go. And I went to that meeting alone. You know, I had a wonderful, I was alone. Usually we go together, but I was alone. I had a wonderful time. I had a wonderful time. They're just listening about sometimes people just want to go with crowds. If you are not going, if you are not in church, and Jesus is not, you are not feeling comfortable. I had a wonderful time. So the next day, you know, the meeting usually closed very early in the morning. So the next day, in the morning, after the meeting, I went there for the day two. That was the meeting after. So when did you call? Yeah, I was expecting him to tell me, okay, I told him, why did you come? Well, I was coming to call you. But when I got to this point, I felt that strong urge not to come. So first of all, this is not the first time I'm hearing this story. And I felt that strong urge not to come, that I should just go. But I even tried to know when I was switched off. And it was unlike him. Do you get it? So you know what God's Spirit tried, what God's Spirit did for me that day? It just made sure that guy, every possible means for me to reach him, was not available. Because that was the day I heard some words. And I ran with me for ministry from Pastor Peter. Amen? Those are words I heard that were confirmation to something that God had told me. Very vital. For me, my head. Amen? So, you know, and he now said, thank God I didn't come. That's what he told me. He said, M.O.G., thank God you did not come. I said, why? He said, because my dad told me not to go. In fact, the dad told him he shouldn't step out of the house. But I gave him a lot of reason why he should not go. He said, thank God you didn't come. But if I didn't have gone, I would have been discouraged. Do you get? I would have been discouraged either way. That Tunde wasn't going and he too wasn't going. Do you get? I would have just been discouraged to sit back. Or he had picked the call. And I said, God, I don't know people. You just drop it. So I just thought, this is God that wanted me to be there. And the next day I went again. Everywhere. But it was 2 days I went again. I just knew that, this was God that wanted me to be there. So, this time, nothing else could stop me. Amen. I went for the second day. Glory to God. Glory to God. So, you have that strong urge many times. Strong urge. That's how the Spirit of God works. Strong urge. Sometimes it will be emotions. I put it like this. I'll get you a word for it, because I've heard Pastor Shagun call that one, but I know I've had it several. Hallelujah. You can't just explain it, but you just feel that inward motion, like a motion that you are not, it's not physical, an unphysical motion within you. Amen. Just an unphysical motion within you. Amen. And it's just like that.
It happens severally. Severally. Glory to God. Amen. You must pay attention to it. You must pay attention to it. Because the emotions of man, the emotion of the sometimes can just be that force from within. To do, because it's nothing logical. This guy has to score. Right? It's logical to just go alone. But that was the spirit at work. Many a times too, we can have such perception to do some certain things. You know, perceive this is what God wants you to do. Some of them might not be things that will be immediate. That is why I love what Bob Hagin used to say. He would say things like, I heard this from Pastor Shelby concerning Bob Hagin. It's better to be slower than God than to be faster. To be faster, you know, you can be faster than God and miss God. But you can be slower than God. Just to be slower and you can't miss God. When be slower than God. When be slower than God. Don't stay back a bit. There's nothing like you were too late. No. Don't stay back a bit. Stay back a bit. A bit. I call it a bit. Hope you're hearing me. Amen. And not just stay back and be moving. Stay back and pray. Just learn to pray. Many a time then, the fact that there was an inward witness or there is a perception concerning something doesn't mean you will rush and do it. Just mean you just rush and do it. Just rush. No. Sometimes you might have a perception or perceive something concerning what you feel the Holy Ghost wants you to do. And that thing can be what God wants you to do in another 5 years and is showing you today. Amen? Can be, you can have a perception concerning something and God just even wants you to pray. You don't have that perception, but God just wants you to pray. Amen. Not to just get on it immediately. There are some things God doesn't expect you to get on immediately when He shows you. Amen. Elena Fokenig? Amen. There's this story like that I heard. That Pastor Kenneth Copeland and Gloria Copeland went to meet him. You know, they had this leading to start up a television ministry. So they went into it, and for the few years they were doing it, they started it immediately, and the few years they were doing it, they owned every TV station. The only person they did not own was themselves. They owned every TV station. So they now came to Bohege. And I asked him, sir, look at. And Bohege just gave him an advice. He said, someone like him, he said, no doubt God told you. Amen. No doubt you were led that way. But the question is, like for him, how God leads him, is that what God will want him to do 20 years, God will tell him today. But he knows it's 20 years time. But God will show him today. God will tell him today, so he can prepare for his 20 years to come. Amen. Amen. Is that so? Is that how God leads him? So it's not that God, but you were a bit too fast. Many of us are very fast. Faster than God. God is showing you something. I think sometimes it might even be 2 years. Sometimes I'll be showing you for someone else. And you want you to do was to get on praying. Just to get on praying. Glory to God. But to get on praying. And quickly you are the one doing it. And people are having oh, hallelujah. Amen. So that we get too fast than God. So that we get too fast. We get too fast. Sometimes the problem is not whether the person you married was the wrong person or the right person. Sometimes I haven't been the right person, but you got married to it. Amen. The issue is not that might be just be too early. Just be too early. And then you just mess things up. And just be too early. Don't we get into relationships too early? Don't we get into businesses too early? Amen. Get into things too early. Too early. And it's God that showed them. But they told that thing about just relaxing. You don't even pour. In Acts 27, Paul was not relaxed. Paul said, you know, Paul was too quick. Amen. We're going to see that next week. Amen. Paul was a bit too quick. A bit too fast. A bit too fast. Too quick. Too quick. Too quick. Too quick. There's nothing about just staying back again and praying about it. Staying back again and praying about it. You know, their problem was not the admission. They were going to get it. So some of them was they got into the school too early. Too early. Some people they will not have had the kind of problem they have in their businesses, in their marriages, or even in the location where they found themselves, if they had witnessed it. I told us, and I keep saying it. Thank God we discovered on time. We got into daily devotion at 2 a.m. What is going too early? We were almost about making another big too early mistake of getting into writing books. We almost got into it. In fact, we had a book, The Believer's Authority. And that is what we have as teachings in CRC. We've broken it into teachings. Hallelujah. Amen. Broken it into teachings. Get either we would go through that, but whenever we're getting prepared for CRC sometimes, just look at it again. Hallelujah. But that was being too early. That was being too early. A small book, but it was loaded. But today, if I'm going to write that book, I'll write pages. But it's not even time now to get into writing. It's still a long haul. It's a long haul. So we were let into writing books, but we entered into it too early. Glory to God. We entered into it too early. So just too early. See, as a ministry, we know we're going to do radio. We're going to do radio ministry, television ministry. But we're not too fast. We're not going to be too fast about it. When the time comes, all of us will know. Hallelujah. As a church, hold on. So there's just that thing about just praying about it. Just praying about it. Amen. Just praying about it. See, spending time to pray about it will not kill you. You know, as you spend time praying about it and praying about it, more facts about it will be revealed. Most times, you know, we get leading like that. Most of us don't get the leading with the fact. Amen. Most of us just have to still wait again to get the fact of the leading. So why being too fast? Bro, why being too fast? Sissy, why being too fast? Can you just take your time and pray about it? Just pray about it. Talk to pastor about it. Amen. 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 When it comes to the leading of God's Spirit, there's just one thing you will know. And that is where I will end this evening. I'll show you two scriptures. Philippians 4, 17. But before we get to Philippians, look at Isaiah. Where Philip was writing for Isaiah. And we'll close like this. And then we'll pick it up next week. And see if we can just, we'll run it up next week. Amen. Let's run it up next week. Amen. And then we'll pick it up again. We'll pick it up again next year. Hallelujah. Just following the leading of the Spirit. Look at verse 12. It says, for you shall go out with joy. This is Isaiah 55 verse 12. For you shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. Isn't that? You shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. There's something about the leading of God's Spirit. See, when you get on God's leading, you just have satisfaction. You have God's peace. Okay, you have God's peace. You see, remember I told us something during the last time we had this teaching, the last series we had. I said, when it has to do with God's leading, doesn't mean it will end up like physically rosy. Everything will just be fine and well. Sometimes then, just like Paul, he was led by the Spirit of God to Jerusalem. What happened to him? He was caught. Right? He was robbed. By the end, was it victory at last? He won souls. Look at Acts 28. He kept teaching. Hallelujah. Amen. But in the process of time, you might have some difficulty. But you know what? You have inner peace. That this is God's plan. I'm just in God's plan. There's something about just being in God's plan. You just be at peace. I'm in God's plan. Amen. 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 Look at Philippians 4. Let's close. Philippians 4. Are you there? Amen. Glory, glory, glory. Look at verse 6. It says, be careful for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication and thanksgiving, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, right? Look at verse 7. And the peace of God, with perfect understanding, shall keep your heart and mind through Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. I love the way translation puts it. That verse 7. It says, and the peace of God. It says, like a garrison of soldiers in a turbulent country. Hallelujah. Take heart to the bank. Hallelujah. So it says,
and the peace of God, like the garrison of soldiers in a troubled country, still will guard and keep your heart through Jesus Christ. Amen. So that means when it comes to the leading of God's Spirit, what we have is God's peace, inner peace. Inner peace. Hallelujah. You know, peace is not the absence of chaos. No. Hallelujah. There might be chaos around, but you know, you have that inner peace. That is God's plan. Hallelujah. Look at what Paul answered Agrippa. He said, oh Agrippa. He said, I am happy. Did you see that? Amen. Just that inner peace. Glory to God. Glory to God. Inner peace. Glory, 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 glory. Hallelujah. So very, very, very important. Look at Acts 26. Look at what Paul said to Agrippa. He said, I think myself happy, King Agrippa, because I shall answer for myself this day. He was not in happy. He was a troubling point. But he said, I think myself. That is, I count myself happy. Amen. In happy. Glory to God. Because you are in God's will. In God's plan. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's thank him. Let's just thank him.